back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zuli is producing the program. There is a poll up on Twitter that Tyler put up earlier based around different reasons there are concerns that football and baseball will not be played in 2020. Which of these is the most likely? Right now, leading with 41% of the votes, football without baseball is in first place. Both play is in second place at 29%. Neither play is in third place at 21%. I've got to admit, I am surprised that neither play would be as high as third place. Also, we just put it out. How many Eagles would be considered untradeable in a Jamal Adams deal? Regardless of what the deal looked like, you can put it together however you want. There's only one for me. It's only one player. It's not 30-year-old Lane Johnson. It's not 29-year-old Fletcher Cox. It's not Zach Ertz. It's not, who else is? Certainly not Miles Sanders. Who else are the studs on the team? Dallas Goedert, I consider a stud, would be in a trade immediately.
I'd assume you consider Darius Slay one, too.
Yes, I think Darius Slay is a stud, would be on the first train. Absolutely right.
Make the poor guy take the train? He doesn't even get a flight?
Well, I mean, you want to fly to New York? You'd spend more time at the airport, like driving there, getting all set up.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm doing him a service.
That's probably true.
Amtrak's great.
Totally side railing. Did I ever tell you about the time I flew from State College to Philly?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So it was like it was a layover. So we were going to Chicago.
Okay.
But instead of just flying to Chicago, we flew to Philly first.
Okay.
From State College.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. From State College. We were in the air for like
20 minutes.
Literally 20 minutes. It was the weirdest flight I've ever been on.
Fantastic. Well, that's people talk about flying from Pittsburgh to Philly and vice versa. They say it's great. Just up and down. Whoop.
I don't even think we ever hit cruising altitude.
Oh, really?
I think we were just like, it was an ascent. And then they're like, all right, we're coming down.
Brandon J. Ramsey tweets in, is it Jordan Mailata? Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that I would not trade for Jamal Adams.
Kind of figured.
So good on you, Brandon. Well done. Jasper Lucas tweets in, talking about the NFL return to play. Wearing masks should be mandatory for anyone other than players. Social distancing should be done whenever necessary. And testing, as well as contact tracing, should be adequate. These things won't completely eliminate infections, but will minimize. I would consider going to an NFL game this fall. I have considered it. I thought that the prices would be pretty tolerable in terms of tickets. If you would go, if you would consider going, and those were the rules, would you still consider going? I am not comfortable with submitting to contact tracing. That is not a thing that I'm comfortable with doing. Who I have talked to and hung out with is my business and doesn't need to be.
I'm not going to lie to you. I believe in transparency.
Uh-huh.
Until you just explained it, I didn't know what that was.
Okay. Yeah. So it's tracking where the virus might have gone based on who you've had contact with.
So we're playing like 6 degrees of separation, basically.
Effectively, yeah, yes. I'm not comfortable.
That's kind of weird because I can't speak for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I see Joe Torti, right? And I can say, I can confidently say, I see Joe Torti a couple nights a week, but I don't know who you've seen, and right. I don't know who your wife has seen, and I don't know those people to confidently say yes or no. And the same can be said from you to me. You don't know who my mom has seen. You don't know who my brother's seen. It's just, I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. And I get, believe me, the fact that it exists, I understand why. But if that were a rule for me attending an NFL game, if that were mandated that I submit to that, it's not something that I'm comfortable with. Masks being mandatory, understand that. Social distancing, obviously understand that. Testing, I'm not sure if that is necessarily for the players or the fans. I would not be psyched about getting tested now that I've seen what the coronavirus test looks like. I wouldn't be psyched about that. But yeah, I understand how that could be a thing, certainly for players who are going to be in contact with people. Will Moore tweets in as well regarding the untradeable players. Wentz, Sanders, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, and Darius Slay. That's a lot of people that I, that's a lot of people to not give up. You wouldn't give up Sanders? They're, listen, I believe that Miles Sanders got hosed. There's no way that Todd Gurley's a better running back than Miles Sanders is at this point in his career. There's just no prayer. I think he got hosed being left out of the top 10 running backs in the league. You're telling me I can trade a top 10 running back for a top 3 safety? Give me a break. Come on, man.
I am not at the level of running back hate that you are.
Yes.
But I do agree to an extent. I will give a little bit of ground to say that it is the most replaceable position in football.
That's all I'm saying.
I like Miles Sanders a lot.
Me too.
I would make that trade in a second.
And I'll go further. If I were starting a team, some of the people that were on the list ahead of him, like Chris Carson and some of these other, there's no way. Miles Sanders is almost, I'd like to see pass protection improve, almost an ideal back for 2020 NFL football. Give me Jamal Adams. But Sanders seems to be a very popular answer among those who say they would not give up more than one player beyond just Carson Wentz in a Jamal Adams trade. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Ooh, nice pickup for Nova. Trey Patterson, who's a top 30 prospect, has committed to Nova, chose them over Florida and Indiana. Quote, their winning culture emphasizes teamwork and brotherhood, and that's something I gravitate to. During the whole time recruiting me, they made it apparent that I was a priority. There you go, Jay Wright. It's a 2021 junior ESPN 60 recruit. So there you go. I don't know, man. So Pearface says, football will be played, no doubt about that, but baseball is background noise. The real fans want it, but the public doesn't seem to care one way or the other. I think that the public cares. I don't think it's complete apathy. I think if baseball ended up not playing, that pushes you over the edge into apathy. I think that that is absolutely true. But I think people are paying attention now to whether or not there's going to be baseball. That's an historical event if there's no baseball.
Yeah, I don't think there's a pulse on normal seasons.
Yeah.
So there's a pulse on opening day. It's a big day. And then there's probably not a pulse again until the All-Star break and then mid-August. And then it really ramps up.
Yeah, yeah.
This season has been, or lack of season, has been the outlier, I think. This has been...
For sure.
This has been a... paid attention to 2020 because they won't get on the field.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. As a baseball fan, Tyler, like, you'd be able to tell people, as much as you love the game, there's no comparison between, like, watching baseball in April and watching baseball in July or watching baseball in October, right? Like, unless you really, really, really love pitching and fielding, baseball kind of stinks in April. Like, it really does. And it's way different later on, like you said, after the All-Star break and as the playoffs ramp up and stuff like that. It takes on a completely different form. So I would argue that more people might be paying attention to baseball now.
But yeah, I think that that's probably pretty fair. What do people tune in for? Home runs? Gappers?
Yep.
Stolen bases, but that doesn't really happen anymore.
Sad.
Walk-offs?
Yeah.
There are not a lot of people like me
that love a sinker ball.
Who are like, back in the day, Arroyo low on a Tuesday afternoon?
I'm in.
I'm locked.
That's
you
it.
Know, that was me. You know, because I, like you said, I loved watching those kind of pitchers pitch.
Guys who throw it down the middle or sinker pitchers.
It's not the norm.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it is at 97.5 The Fanatic, at Joe Torti, and at Tyler Zuli. Wow. Jamal Adams, what do you think the chances are that Jamal Adams changes teams? Because this thing's been going on for a long time, and it hasn't really, like, nothing's happened. There's no need for the Jets to do anything unless they're just ready for this whole thing to be over.
I think the likelihood of Jamal Adams getting traded is about the same as the likelihood of Yannick Ngakoue getting traded.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit higher, because I think the Jets will get more for Adams than the Jags will get for Ngakoue because of that second season left on the deal. But it's not super high. I think it's probably 20%, whereas Ngakoue is probably about 12 to 15%.
Okay, so not great for either of these guys.
No, I don't think so.
Man. And you know what? I forgot about this. I love him putting the Texans on the list. And the Texans are like, great, let's go to the war chest. All right. No first round pick. No second round pick. Jamal, why would you do this to us? It's like playing Mario Party. And you make it all the way around the board. And you need 20 coins for the star. You got 18 coins. So why would you do this to me? I made it all this way. Don't have enough to get what I want.
I don't even know if the Texans have that many coins at this point.
That's what I'm saying.
They might have four. Like six. Yeah.
They got like four coins. Oh, jeez.
So they get all the way around the board, and they're just dreading getting there the whole time.
They're trying to go backwards.
Yes.
Ravens, that would just be death. And Earl Thomas, Jamal Adams, like, safety tandem, forgetting all of the other embarrassment of riches they have at corner. Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey, and that's a joke.
And acquiring Calais Campbell for legitimately nothing.
That's a joke.
And drafting Patrick Queen where they were. They didn't even have to move.
So there's that. There's the Cowboys, who I think would be players in this because they missed out on Earl Thomas. They were in on Earl Thomas, got outdueled by Baltimore. I would believe that Dallas is in. Texans, I'm ready to scratch them off the list because they only got six coins. The Chiefs? I don't know what the Chiefs have.
They have all their draft picks.
Yeah.
They could, if they thought that they're good enough to make another run at the Super Bowl this season, which they probably are, could mortgage the future for another two seasons.
Right.
And say, if we can get another one over the next 2 years, then we can confidently rebuild and say we got two in three seasons, and that's pretty darn good.
Fair enough. But if you're the Jets, I'm not trading him to the Chiefs because my road to the Super Bowl goes through Kansas City.
You're not making the Super Bowl anyway if you trade him.
You don't think so?
I don't think that team's any good.
I understood.
Like, not to joke and say you're not making the Super Bowl, I don't think that team sniffs the playoffs this year.
But over the course of the next 3 or 4 years, if you think that Sam Darnold's going to take the next step.
It's possible, right.
I'm just trying to figure out how they're thinking, not necessarily what reality is. The Eagles make a ton of sense because the Jets are like, if we see you in the Super Bowl, we'll see you in the Super Bowl. 49ers also make sense. And Seattle. All of the NFC teams make sense. What's the 49ers draft pick situation looking like? Is it okay right now? I can't remember.
I think they have a first because they traded the first or traded away the first. No, acquired the first for DeForest Buckner.
Yes.
So they had two.
Yeah, they did last year.
But I don't believe they have any trade restrictions, at least of important picks.
Yeah, I don't think so. So the other news coming out of San Francisco, Deebo Samuel has that broken foot. It's confirmed, so he's out 10 weeks. Said, see you in 10 weeks. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. And we can, we're hanging out until 10 o'clock here. By the way, I saw this from Dave Zangaro. They're counting down the 20 most important Eagles for the 2020 season. I'm not ready for this because number 20 is Nate Sudfeld. So, I don't know, man. Gotta read it. But we got Nate Sudfeld there. Avante Maddox, Nate Gary, and Dallas Goedert are the ones who have been revealed so far. Okay, San Francisco doesn't have the third. They traded the third for Trent Williams. Man, yep. What a good deal.
It's a steal.
That's a good deal, too. I love the way that San Francisco built their team.
Could you imagine being Washington and being like, all right, this guy doesn't really want to play for us anymore, but he's so good.
Right.
We're going to get a first for him. And all the offers are coming in. They're like, yo, we'll give you a fifth.
Right.
And Redskins are like, nah, probably not. We're waiting on a first. And then they have to settle on a third round pick.
You don't get a two.
Didn't even get a two.
And you get a bad three. I promise you that's a bad
It's going to be pick 87 at
that's a,
best.
That's a bad three. Oh, man.
You figure what? There's 96 picks in the first three rounds?
Yes. Yeah.
That's, yeah, at minimum, we're talking 87.
That's a bad, bad move. But Trent Williams now in San Fran, not in Washington anymore. There you go. Zach Ertz is trending, obviously. Because he's a natural add to any of these trades. Why do Eagles fans always want to trade Zach Ertz? Do you like losing? I'm not understanding this. I don't know. Okay, so what if it's this? What if trading Zach Ertz saves you from using the first? What if it's Zach Ertz and a two? Does that change things? You know, let's call it what it is, right? Zach Ertz is very good. Is he the number one tight end in the NFL? I don't think so. Is he the number two tight end in the NFL? I also No. don't think so. Is he top three?
Yes.
If he's three or four, okay, you're talking about being in the top 10%. Come on now. Let's not overvalue when you've got Dallas Goedert, who we believe in, right? Or am I the only one still on the Dallas Goedert
Well, track? I think, too, the best indicator of where other, and this is only fan bases, but where other fan bases view your team is if you go to someone who is not an Eagles fan and they have those tier lists.
Yep.
Right? And it's like, you know, superb, excellent, good, those kind of, you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Every single time you see one of those, Dallas Goedert's in tier three.
Right. Yep.
As a backup. There are starters who are below him. So to say that as a backup, he's tier three, does he not really automatically good. Become tier two if he's the starter?
Yeah, he doesn't have any opportunity, of course.
So you're trading a tier one for, you're giving up a tier one and a second for a tier one and a tier two, effectively.
Right.
You're thinning your depth at tight end.
For sure. Yeah, you
But
are.
There are 100 veteran tight ends you could sign as your backup.
Just watch the Bears. They had...
They
eight,
got 10
right?
of them.
Yeah, they had 10 at one point. I think they've got 8 still. Let me think about this. Travis Kelce, right? George Kittle. Only two questions, right? Is Ertz better than Mark Andrews?
As of right now, yes. Close.
Right. Close. Maybe yes. Is he better than Gronk right now?
Yes.
I also think that. So that puts him in that 3 or 4 range because I think he's better than Waller. I think he's better than Jared Cook. I think he's better than Austin Hooper.
I think Waller's better than Gronk at this point, too.
Might be.
I like Waller a lot.
He had a good year last year.
Yeah, he really did.
He had a really nice year last year. So
I don't think Hooper's nearly as good as people think he is. I'm very out on Hooper.
You're out on, okay.
Yeah. All right. And not to say I think he stinks, but people tend to want to put him in that top 5 or 6. I think he's probably closer to 8 or 9 or 9 or 10.
Okay, fair enough. Connor tweets in. You ready for his list?
Let's hear it.
Wentz, Ertz, Rager, Cox, Slay, Goddard, Sanders, Graham, Brooks, and Lane Johnson.
What?
That's 10 players.
Wait, I have a question.
I'm ready.
Is this a Connor or our Connor?
No. It is a Connor.
Oh, okay.
It is a Connor.
Because I was going to say, I don't like to normally throw fellow producers under the bus,
no,
but
you
if that was our Connor, that's just bad.
Hold them accountable.
Yeah. It's still bad, but at least I can't yell at him in person.
Well, so here's my thing, right? Jalen Rager, I would be in... Do you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer or something? Like, that's the only reason that... Sight unseen, you wouldn't trade him for a two-time Pro Bowler. I think in 2 years, right? Or a two-time All-Pro in 2 years. I think that's the case. Did he make it as a rookie? I can't remember. Maybe he made it as a second-year player. But you've got that. You got Brandon Brooks, who is injured and cannot help you win the Super Bowl this year. Brandon Graham, you wouldn't trade Brandon Graham for Jamal Adams? You wouldn't trade Dallas Goedert, your backup tight end? Connor, you got a lot of people on the list, man. A lot of people on the list. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Not sure that I agree there. I don't think that that's going to end up working out if that's the no trade list. Because then it turns into like, all right, we'll give you Alshon Jeffrey for him. Which, you know. Hey, speaking of, you brought up his name earlier. Ngakoue for Adams straight up. Who's it a better deal for? Tough to tell.
Yeah, that's difficult because the pass rusher position is more important than the safety position.
Yes.
But having that extra year of Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, if we've learned anything from Jacksonville, that literally everyone hates it there.
Yes, that
so,
is true.
Although it might be a, from a team standpoint, it's probably the Jags. From a person standpoint, it might be the Ngakoue. Because Jacksonville, apparently, outside of the one run to the AFC title game, is literally where dreams go to die.
It's been, and I don't mean to pick on Jacksonville, but it's been like hope springs eternal there, and then just gets smacked down unceremoniously.
Well, I don't even think that you can say without, you know, being too harsh on Jacksonville, because the team does it to themselves. Because think about it, over the last, I don't know, six or seven seasons, they have drafted Jalen Ramsey.
Yes.
Miles Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Yannick Ngakoue. Dante Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen,
mm-hmm.
the linebacker, of
mm-hmm.
course.
Yes.
And that's just five that I can think of off the top of my head. And they all have already gotten out or seem to want out. And Josh Allen's only going into his second year.
Exactly. You could see a Miami Dolphins type exodus this upcoming year for everyone left in Jacksonville. You could definitely see something like that.
Exactly. I mean, a couple of buddies and I are in a group chat, and we were talking about, you know, different odds for the season coming up.
Uh-huh.
And somebody had brought up that the Colts are the favorite to win the AFC South, and I, you know, made mention that Philip Rivers stinks, but it's not the point of the conversation. Was that we were talking about, I made a joke, I said Minshew Mania.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
My buddy responded very perfectly with, yeah, that's the perfect guy to win two games.
When you need two wins.
They are going to stink.
Gardner's there.
You know, I still believe that Carolina is going to be the worst team just because they're not going to score points.
Right.
But the Jags are not going to be very far behind them.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Ross Tucker tweeting out that Bill O'Brien, to get Jamal Adams, just offered Deshaun Watson, Laremy Tunsil, and the 2028 through 2032 first-round picks.
Sold.
So we'll monitor how that that transaction goes down. It's the Joe Torti Show. Tyler Zuli's producing. We're hanging out until 10 on the Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to Joe Torti's Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is producing the program. And Tyler, when you get a moment, would you mind updating the good folks on the results of the Twitter poll that you put out earlier in the show regarding which, if any, of football or baseball is likely to be back?
Yep. So, like you mentioned, the question is based around different reasons. There are concerns that football and baseball will not be played in 2020. Which of these is the most likely? We have just under 300 votes so far. Leading the way at 40% is football will play with no baseball. Second is both play. Third is neither play. And coming in last with just 9% is baseball plays no football.
Wow. Well, I don't see that.
It's not as far off as I thought it would be. I thought football with no baseball would be an overwhelming answer.
I thought so, too. I thought so. And the only other answer that would generate anything would be both. But here we are. Let's go to Jonah in Bristol next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jonah?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Phillies.
Okay.
So, are we having a season or what?
I'm betting yes. I am betting that there will be a season. Now, it depends on whether you think between like 48 and 60 games is an actual season. But yeah, they're going to play.
Right, yeah, because I'm wanting some baseball, man. I feel like it's not summer without baseball.
So, Jonah, do you, like, when you look at it, if they play like 60 games or something like that, like, do you consider it like a real season? Or
after 60 games, we would have made the playoffs. Nationals right. wouldn't have made the playoffs. The Nationals are the World Series champion. So, like, it's hard to, you know what I mean? It's hard to say. Anything can happen at 60 games. So, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that I've always liked about baseball, Jonah, is that, like, the regular season really does tell you who the best team is. Like, you play 162 games. By the end, you know who the best team is.
Exactly. Yeah, you're so right about that. Yeah. I'm hungry for some baseball. I just want to see the Phillies play, you know?
So. I think that they will. Jonah, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I think that the season is going to start on July 19th. I think that is going to be the case. So a month from tomorrow, the season will begin. Teams could be in training camps by the end of June. I think Saturday is like the big deadline for stuff to happen, right? Before Rob Manfred can just effectively drop the 48-game hammer.
Yep. Yeah, like Tyrone said earlier, you got about 48 hours to make the play.
So there you go. I think that 60 games is the number, by the way. I think that this hope for 70 games is not going to happen.
No, but I think the league has to concede a little bit and not go with the 48. They have to go with 60.
Yeah, I think so,
too. If they want to avoid future issues.
Now, by the way, if I am one of the 22 owners who does want the season to start and not one of the 8 owners who doesn't, I'm telling those guys to buzz off. Like, I'm not worried about playing nice with every owner. If I want baseball to start and it's good for me as a New York Yankees owner, whoever it is, then yeah, I'm not worried about what the A's and the Pirates want.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm not one for, like, you know, pushing, making somebody do anything they want to do with their business. But if I'm one of the owners, especially like you said, the kind of the heads of the serpent, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cardinals, all those kind of guys, I would be pushing for these owners to either reconsider first or second, sell their teams to someone who wants to try to compete.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Like, if you don't like this, you can get find out. Better terms. Yeah, exactly. John Heyman just tweeted this 5 minutes ago, and Leak Fest continues, because of course it does. MLB owners are so upset by the players' counterproposal, which is said to be for about $300 million more, that no response is expected to be immediate. Time is obviously getting short, so hopefully it's not too long, of course. No, what they'll do is they'll just ignore it, and they'll be like, this is not a this is what they're going to say. I'm not saying this is my opinion. This is not a legitimate part of the negotiations, so we're going to be operating based on our last offer. And then, of course, there's the 48-game hammer that Rob Manfred also has at his disposal. Let's go to Drew in Westchester next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good evening, Drew.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
As far as baseball and football are concerned, I'm really, you know, I don't want to sound like a complete Debbie Downer, but I just don't see any way that either of them can come back, and I really don't see basketball or hockey really coming back either, even though they have these plans in place to come back.
Really?
I was just reading that I think, what is it, like 10 NBA players have tested positive for COVID now. I think there was like 13 Texas football players that tested positive.
Saw that, yes.
So it's like, even if it starts off safe, I just have a feeling like something bad's going to happen safety-wise, and then we're all going to just go right back to starting over when it happens.
Well, Drew, so what does that mean? Like, what does something bad mean?
Like somebody, starting the season, and then, you know, or the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, you know, a game or two in, a guy tests positive for COVID on the team.
Oh, okay.
Well, what do we do? Like, what do we do then? Is it all of a sudden, you know, that team is just completely shut down and out of it?
I'm not aware of a lot of weird stuff
that could happen.
Of course, yeah. I'm not aware of all of the details, Drew, but I know that the NBA has said, as part of their return to play proposal, It can't stop if there are a smaller, limited number of COVID-19 positive cases. So they're planning, even if a player tests positive, supposedly the NBA has the framework in place where they feel confident with the season continuing, even if that were to happen.
And just isolating that guy out of it and keep going on?
I guess so, yeah. And extensive testing to those like who are on the team and who he's been around.
Yeah, I mean, heaven forbid somebody gets really sick and, you know, something happens, Joe. I really fear for these guys' safety. And I want sports back, don't get me wrong. I want it back in the safest, you know, best way we can do it.
Totally understand, Drew. And thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Because, yeah, I think everybody, it would just be so callous to say that, like, you don't care what happens to the players, like, especially as fans, right? It seems that would be disingenuous and, you know, it's a lot of things. So I don't think that is the way that people view it. It's, you know, what is the appropriate level of risk that you're willing to tolerate? And whatever it is for you personally is fine. And that's what the, like, kind of tightrope that the league and the players' associations have to walk is, I would think, and Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong here, but based on like what we've seen in negotiations and previous points, like it seems consistent that the player's position would be that one positive test is too many for things to continue. Whether or not that is like logical or quote unquote realistic or whatever, like from a negotiating standpoint, these are players' associations and unions that have gone to battle on behalf of Ray Rice or like some of these other, some other players who it seems like a reasonable person would be like, well, yeah, this person shouldn't be in the league anymore. This person should be suspended for this or whatever. That's not the way that players associations operate. So it seems to me that the logical place to start from would be that one positive test is unacceptable, which is why I'm so surprised at the NBA proposal so far along at this point.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that they are, Especially since, you know, kind of like we talked about earlier, the league probably does not have player safety at its utmost forefront. The
sure.
league has money at its utmost forefront. That the PA of the NFL PA would have player safety and the players' back specifically. I am not sure if it is physically possible. And I don't use that as hyperbole and I don't use that as, you know, trying to make an exaggerated statement. I literally do not know if it is physically possible to avoid having a positive test if you were to go about these games just regularly, even with all the precautions you're taking. At some point, there will be a positive test.
Well, and here's the thing, and I'll say it if nobody wants to say it. If you're going to effectively ask these guys to isolate in the same way that, and not necessarily in the same place, but in the same way that NBA players are doing it, right? Where you're not going home to families, you're not, you know, hanging out with your kids, you're not hanging out with your friends, all that other kind of stuff, right? If these are the sacrifices that you're being asked to make, I don't want to, you know, sound callous here either, but let's call it what it is. I wonder if it only matters if someone gets sick rather than a positive test, right? Because if all of the players are there being asymptomatic, it seems like that's something that you could manage through quarantine, through just not having them contact anyone else outside who could they could potentially infect or whatever. Like, I wonder if that is a world that the NFL and the players could live with. And then when someone gets sick, it turns into a way, way bigger deal. Like, I don't know, because hospitalization is a huge issue. Like,
well, I think that that's certainly fair. The issue for me would become, if you're going to try to play under those pretenses, you're going to have to, like we talked about earlier with the fans, you're going to have to do the contact tracing.
Right.
And then what is, like, the limitation on who gets sick and how severe and how
degrees.
Close? Yeah, right. So if, again, it goes back to, like, you and I are on the football field, and we may be test positive but be asymptomatic. If my mom gets it, does that shut the league down? If that's not the case, if it has to be passed on from me to my mom to my neighbor. And if my neighbor gets it, then does the league, you know what I mean? So how many separated degrees is an acceptable amount for the NFL? And I just don't know if it's feasible to look at it that way, because then I think that there's no way of keeping the player safe if that's the case.
610-632-0975. That, like you said, weird, bizarre, like overreaching questions. It's where we are. Like you've got to figure out solutions. And talking about it, I'm sure that there are people that are smarter than me talking about it in the league offices. Although Tyrone said that there are no smart people working for the NFL, so maybe not. Maybe we're the smartest people.
I think he's closer to right than not.
I'm telling you,
they're all pretty absent-minded.
Okay, here we go. This is a statement from NFLPA Medical Director Dr. Tom Mayer. Not the league guy, but this is the Players Association. Dr. Anthony Fauci's words carry important weight as he has served our country with expert guidance and moral clarity through many crises. As we've communicated to our players throughout the spring, we know that there are significant challenges to the operation of football during a global pandemic. So far, we have been guided and made decisions based on the best available science and the current state of infections and hospitalizations. Our joint task force is comprised of experts in multiple areas who are working every day with health and safety in mind. In addition to stringent protocols and workplace safety, we continue to reinforce the importance of widely available testing. It is not just a key to restarting football, but also a matter of public health. While the information we currently have indicates it will not be an issue in the near future, we all agree that ethically we cannot, as a non-essential business, take our resources away from our fellow Americans. We will continue to update you as we move forward through the summer. More react to that when we return. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show. Tyler Zulli's producing. We're together until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. We're together until 10. Tyler Zulli's producing. 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club. Three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. We're going to get to Mike and Del Ran in a moment here. As we just heard that statement from the NFLPA doctor, effectively. I don't know about you, Tyler. Did you hear the whole statement, or were you busy, you know, doing things
no,
for the
yeah,
show?
Yeah, I heard you. I do pay attention to you most of the time.
Yeah, I don't know why you do that.
Like 75% of the time.
That statement was like, I read that as, with all due respect, in the opening paragraph, there's definitely going to be football this year.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talk about it all the time. It is really, truly what it came down to me was that thing that we always say, no offense, but. Right. And then everything after the but is like allowed to be offensible because you said no offense.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly what I took from it, too. It was pretty much like, thanks for your concerted effort. No.
Yeah, no. We're gonna be careful, and we're going to do it. That's what I took from Dr. Tom Mayer there. Let's go to Mike and Del Ran next on The Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Yo, what's up, Joe?
How you doing?
All right, man. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
You know what you're doing right now?
What's that?
You're working.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
You know what I got to do?
What's that?
I'm working.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
you know who's at Walmart and ShopRite and everywhere else in the world right now? They're working.
Yep.
So you know what? The NFL better get to work, because I swear to God, if I have to watch the NFL either get postponed or pushed back, I told Anthony, it's going to be, I'm going to snap.
I'm absolutely going to snap.
We're all on edge, Mike. We've all got like eggshell thin shreds of sanity left because of everything that's happened. We need it.
Yeah, listen, you took away the NBA. All right, the Sixers were kind of getting on my nerves at that point. No, you took away the Flyers. I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but they were rolling.
Yep.
You know, baseball, I could care less if it comes back or couldn't care less, however that saying goes, because they're all a bunch of greedy scumbags. If you keep the NFL away from me, I swear it's ridiculous. We're all back to work. I'm going to work. You're going to work. First responders are going to work. People at ShopRite, Walmart, the Friendlies, I pick my kids' meal up at. They're all at work. NFL, get to work. Figure it out. Go Birds!
Mike and Delran checking in. So how do you think he responded on the Twitter poll? Do you think that he wants football back? Thinks that's likely?
The only options that Mike responded to were either both or football with no baseball.
And Go Birds.
And Go Birds, of
right,
course.
Exactly. 610-632-0975. Is there something to that, right? Like, is it just a numbers thing? Because conceivably, it's two different deals, right? It's can we handle a return to the NFL from a fan's perspective, which is to say, can you keep fans safe? Will you not create hot spots, right, by having fans there? Or is it more about the players on the field and like trying to keep them healthy? I do view it as two different issues because it's like you got to prioritize or at least say what your priorities are in order to figure out what the best solutions are.
I don't think it's two different issues. I think it is two thought processes of the same issue. To me, it's more like Venn diagram.
Okay.
Where like the middle is the most important part to the NFL.
Sure.
But the outside, the two sides of the circle on the outside have to be extremely closely monitored. But I don't think one exists without the other.
Well, so here's why I said that. It strikes me as strange that you could have multiple restaurants in one area opening up all at whatever, 25% capacity, tables spaced apart, all that other kind of stuff, right? But still, if they're all on the same block or the same couple of blocks or the same area, that's not that different from having fans spaced out in an NFL stadium, effectively. If 6 feet is the number, then 6 feet is the number that we're going with. So I guess that's what I'm digging at. Is it because it's the players who are making contact with each other that we're talking about all of these other restrictions and all these other precautions that are not being applied to other businesses where we might be talking about, if not the same amount of people, certainly a representative amount of people where you'd say, wow, that's a lot of people that are getting together. You know what I mean?
I think that I'll pose you this question, and I think that it's the reason why there is the concern over the players or the fans in the stands. When you are at the restaurant, and I can't speak to any kind of shopping or food store or anything like that because people don't adhere to those lines anyway. But when you're at the restaurant, you are at the discretion of the owner or the wait staff or whomever it might be, the manager, that if you go outside the boundaries of the parameter set by that specific restaurant, they can kick you out, no question.
Right, you'll be removed.
I don't know if an NFL stadium can be monitored the way that a 500 square foot restaurant eating space can be.
Really?
I don't. It's too large.
That's interesting to me because like the Vet had a jail. You know what I mean? Like in a packed stadium, you were still able to extricate troublemakers and remove them from the premises.
Yes.
It is a lot of ground to cover, but you're at whatever, 25, 35, 40% capacity, whatever it is. Isn't that just as manageable if you've got the resources that NFL teams have?
I think so from a seating standpoint, but it also has to go down to how are all of the facilities inside the stadium being monitored? How are the bathrooms? Because like to me, the bathrooms are the most important thing.
Yes.
You know, because there's just so much close proximity within those and it's just that thin, you know, the divider in between the either the stall or the urinal or whatever it might be.
Oh, that's
right?
Easy. You close those. You just close every other one.
So you would only go every other one.
Yeah, you just put trash bags over. You know.
And you know, the same can be said for the concession stands.
Yeah.
The same can be said for, are you going to do things like the convenience stores have done and take away you know, like, you know, they've self-served mustard and ketchup. They've got to be gone, right?
I would think.
You can't have them.
Although Wawa still lets you use the screen. You know, they're wiping the screen down and stuff like that.
But they did for a while take self-serve coffee away.
I think that still might be a way. I'm not positive.
Some places.
Okay.
So some places it's back, but at mine, at the one around me, they have something up on by where you get the coffee that says, like, if you don't feel comfortable, just request us to make your coffee. Okay. We'll make it for you.
Gotcha. Okay. I think mine still might be talked to an associate. I'm not positive.
It's probably how it should be. Okay. Because that's not that big of an inconvenience. Because if you go to another coffee shop, they're making it for you anyway.
To begin with. Yeah, if you're ordering it behind the counter. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Reggie and Wayne next on The Fanatic. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, man?
Good. So I'm listening to a very, you know, interesting conversation you guys are having. And then the last caller, you know, he's of the mind frame that, hey, everybody, let's get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, not everyone's work is the same. There's a lot of people that work from home now. You know, so work isn't what it used to be. And then I really like the way you guys are going back and forth. And you're bringing up things like concession stands, you know, urinals, mustard, pumps. It's like, at what point are we realizing that, you know, these football players are going to be like all over each other?
Right.
They're going to be, I'm listening and I'm thinking, yeah, I want football as much as the next guy. Okay. But does any of this make sense? Like if we had, and I don't mean to go anywhere other than what I'm saying now, if we had a different type of leadership, would we be thinking like this as a country and as sports fans? You know, might it be different? Might we be more cautious? And then I'll close out by saying this. Like, what are we going to do if a team all of a sudden gets sick and can't really field a credible team for the next game?
Sure.
What happens then? Or what happens when someone dies as a result of contact with someone or other involved with the sport? Was it worth it at that point? I mean, I don't have any answers. Like you guys, I'm grasping, but it just seems absurd some point.
But Reggie, before you go, do you also think that it might have outsized importance to somebody like Mike, for example, because everything's been shut down, because you haven't been able to go to bars or restaurants or any of the other places that you have fun? Do you think that maybe the NFL and the return of football, just as a distraction, has taken on outsized importance because of that?
I think that I've been shut down just like Mike. I've been shut in, shut down, whatever you want to call it, like everyone else. I'm going through the same exact thing, except we got to act like grown-ups at some point. You know, what's more important? Well, what is important? You know, and again, right. I'm not purporting to have all the answers. I don't want to come off like that. I'm just saying, at some point, we got to ask ourselves the hard question. Let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
If Fauci says something, I'm listening to him. He's been around this block a few more times than anybody else that I'm aware of.
Well, yeah, you're right about that, Reggie. And thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. Infectious disease, obviously, right in his wheelhouse. Some other people would point out that as the science has changed, so has the messaging. And as the information's changed, so has the messaging. So how do we know yet? You know what I mean? Like, it's tough. It's tough with a disease like this where we have very little information, but we're getting smarter about it all the time. At least in terms of what's available to us. 610-632-0975. Appreciate Reggie's thoughts. Your thoughts are next. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.